Jared's one who works tirelessly in the region for this region, and his main goal is for sustainability through economic development, and he's constantly championing causes such as the BitSource. We took him through Ragent today and through the Space Science Center, and so anytime Jared sends out anything, it's with a message to try to make his area, his region, our region, the best it can be, and to continually grow it. So it's my privilege to introduce Jared Arnett, the Executive Director of SOAR.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. I'm an alum of Moorhead, and I was driving down. The memories. How many weekends I drove that road 460 between Sayersville and West Liberty, and just excited to come back. I'm sure many of you in here are alums of Moorhead, and the university and the town just holds a special place. Gives you opportunities. It changes your life. That is just the reality of it, and it's a powerful thing. And I wouldn't be here if not for it and the people there. There's days I would love to go back to the stress of just having, one 8 a.m. class a week or whatever. And that was the worst thing that could ever happen. So a lot of memories here for me and my family. So I want to share with you a little bit about SOAR and what we're trying to do. And by we, I always say the most important word in our name is shaping our Appalachian region. It's got to be owned by the people within this region. It was started by governmental leaders, very strong leaders, Congressman Rogers and Governor Beshear, and now we're co-chaired by Governor Bevin. But they would both, if they were standing here today, say the future of this region rests on the people in the communities. It cannot be fixed solely from Frankfort or D.C., and that's kind of the underlying belief we work from each and every day that we go to work. And I've got some copies up here I'll share with you. But we've got our impact report from last year. If you wonder, well, what has SOAR done? Sometimes I go to speak and there's big crowds and I'm where they here excited or here to complain. You never know which way is going to go. But if you want to see the impact that we've had, we've got a report that talks about last year. We're working on this year's. Over 1,600 jobs created last year. But that is... job creation in and of itself is not going to fix Appalachia. We exist to create a system within this region that will continually create jobs. We do not want to be the job creator. We're the facilitator at many levels. So I've got that. That's looking backward, but what I really like to talk about is the future. Some people are history buffs. I'm a future buff, if there's such a thing. That's what excites me. It's what drives me every day. I'm confident that nothing big ever happens without a dream, without a vision of where you're going. Plans are one thing, but you got to have an idea of where are we trying to get to and be able to paint that picture and get people excited about it. So the vision I'll talk about a little bit today, but we've got a blueprint, a plan to accomplish that, and I've got copies of it here. Both of those are on our website. If you're an electronic person, you can go find those there. Over 3,000 people gave input into this plan in the first year of SOAR 2014. I was running the Southeast Kentucky Chamber of Commerce at the time. I was the president and CEO. I'm still a partner in a small business, a guitar store. I was a jazz piano major here for a while before I changed to paralegal studies and did a minor in government and then did my MBA through Moorhead. So I own a guitar store, and we from Eastern Kentucky have shipped a guitar to every state in the country. And not everybody thinks of retail as an opportunity to sell to the world, but the internet and technology opportunities changes the entire economic landscape of rural communities, and we believe that's an important part. So this is just the cover of our impact report, and our office is small. When I started, I volunteered for the first year. I chaired the working group on entrepreneurship and wrote a 25-page plan with several people's input on what we thought needed to be done to improve entrepreneurship in Eastern Kentucky. Many of you were a part of that. Jay Marshall and his team were part of helping write that first report. And You know, as we were going to those board meetings, they had assigned a group and sourced it as an initiative, and then it was becoming an organization. And at the board meetings, they were saying, you know, we're doing a national search for the executive director of SOAR. And I literally said to the guy sitting next to me, which is Jeff Whitehead at EKSEP, whoever takes that job is crazy. That was literally what I looked to the side and said. And long story short, several months later, after several conversations, this guy from a head of a holler, as I say it, and from Magoffin County, was sitting down for an interview with the governor and congressman for this position. Never dreamed it in my life. Never thought I'd ever meet a governor, and thought it was a crazy challenge. But as always in success, challenges turn into opportunities. You think, how can I make a difference? And that's the only thing that drove me, was the opportunity to make a difference in the community and the region that I loved. So I've been here 3 years, November 1st, full-time. This was our impact report from last year. Obviously, we held our summit. BitSource was launched and grew. There were 600 jobs in Rockcastle County. Logan Corporation, a company that was in Martin County, we started a conversation with them. This was a company that used to do maintenance for the mining industry. They laid off almost everybody except 10 people. And this is a real story of SOAR, and when I say it's about the people in the region. The plant manager came in and said, well, we got to build something. So they built something totally different that they'd never built before. And it was a dump truck bed. And he's from the region, and this is not the central location of Logan Corp. They're headquartered in West Virginia. They're getting ready to close the whole plant down. So he comes in and tells us, guys, let's build a dump truck bed today. And this is not what you would imagine. It's a really awesome dump truck bed. There's pictures on our website. So they build one, and he drives it to they take it to a trade show and say, let's see if we can sell it. And they sold it. So they come back, and they make another one, and they sold it. Within 6 months, they have a waiting list of 50. And, you know, dump truck, they're not a couple thousand dollars. This is big time. And all of a sudden, they've hired 15 people back. They need to hire 50 more back, and they're completely out of space. So we help facilitate conversations between the state, between the congressman's office, between local communities. They ended up in a new site with a new building, and now they've got probably 75 or 80 employees and growing their business. And they're exporting. They're shipping something out of the region, bringing money in that's not totally dependent on the coal industry. Appalachian Wildlife Center, Regent, obviously, was a fruit of the relationship between Governor Beshear at the time and Congressman Rogers. Part of our work, and the list just goes on and on and on, and you can look at those. So you come into the office after 2016, and you know, when my first day on the job, I was in a closet basically in Pikeville City Hall. They'd just given us space, and you come in with this massive amount of expectation, and no roadmap for how this has ever been done before. And I want to pose just a little bit of the problem in just a second, because I'm a problem solver. It's what I like to do. But you come in 2016, you do great things, and then the question is, now what? It's just like you do every day in your job and your department and your business. No matter what you did last year, you can't just sit back and say, well, that was great. We did some good things, because you got this year. And that means you got to deliver, you got to perform, and you got to have a team that can do it. So I want to talk a little bit first about what SOAR is, because that is so complicated. It's hard to get our arms around. And really, it took me a year or so to fully understand it. And I've got a little video I'll show just to give you an idea of what SOAR is, because we're not an economic development agency. We're not a chamber. We're not a federal agency. We're not a foundation. We don't fund things. We're not a business. So what in the world is it? And we're a collective impact organization. That's what it's called. And that is a framework to tackle deeply entrenched and complex social problems. It's an innovative and structured approach to making collaboration work across government, business, philanthropy, nonprofit organizations, and citizens to achieve significant and lasting social change. We're an agent for change. At the root of it, at the core, we exist to transform the economy of Eastern Kentucky. That takes a lot of work and a long time. But I'll let you watch this video. It's only 2 minutes, maybe less than that, but it'll give you an idea of what collective impact is and how it works.
Collective impact means creating alignment, commitment, policy, funding, trust, and coordinating across sectors, public, nonprofits, business, governments, foundations. Collective impact efforts typically have 5 conditions. Common agenda. This means all parties agree to shared goals and how to get there. Shared measurement. Keeping track of the same things. Mutually reinforcing activities. Each actor doing their own part, using their unique skills. Continuous communication. Regularly sharing results with each other. Backbone organization. A support team that helps mobilize, coordinate, and facilitate to keep the goal in sight and the progress rolling. Channeling our collective strength, we can solve the world's toughest problems. Collective impact. Diverse organizations coming together to solve a complex social problem.
So that maybe helps you understand a little bit that this is not about SOAR. We're a small team of 4 people in our office working to rebuild Appalachia. I'm going to show you kind of our 5 key components that it talked about there with collective impact. You got to have a common agenda. This is it. When people say, well, what are we going to do in Appalachia? This is it. This is the plan over 3,000 people gave input into. We're no longer just listening and trying to figure out what to do. We have a plan, a succinct plan of what to do. And this is what we are asking every partner, every organization to review it and say, how can you help us do this in your community? We can't suddenly make Moorhead completely connected. But when you get partners on the ground that are saying, that's the vision of the region, we're going to do our part in Moorhead to try to get that done. Well, we've got little groups like that all across Appalachia that we've inspired and that we work with to connect to resources that are working in their communities to get that done. That's the power of saying it's not just SOAR going to do everything, it's we're all going to do everything together. We got to figure out how to track those metrics. We're doing that this year. If the goal is broadband, then where were we last year and where are we this year? We got to be able to answer that question. And we're going to be tracking metrics this year. Mutually reinforcing activities. We've got an advisory council. We hold roundtables. We have our annual summit. We continually bring people together. Open and continuous communications, our newsletters, emails, social media, SOAR.network, continually connecting people together. And the backbone organization, somebody to strategically think about it all and manage it all. That's our role, and that's what we do. I want you to understand the task at hand, what we're up against. This is a map of Appalachia in 13 states, and you see my first meeting I went to in D.C. with Appalachian Regional Commission. I was there with people from other states, and they were calling Kentucky the red dot, and that's because we have almost as many distressed counties in the 54 counties of Kentucky as the other 12 states combined. The red means we're in the bottom 10% of the country economically. We also, before we lost the 12 to 13,000 coal mining jobs in a majority of this region, this map didn't look much different. We were still in the bottom 10%. So I go to work every day thinking, if we created 12,000 jobs today, we're still in the bottom 10% of the country economically. That's pretty heavy weight on your shoulders. So the reality is, and what we think and the research we've done that we've got in our blueprint is to move Appalachia forward, 30,000 people need to be employed. We don't say we got to create 30,000 jobs, and I'll say why we don't say that in a minute. But that's the reality. Once you get out into these rural communities to affect the poverty, and it's going to take a generation to do it, we need to employ 30,000 people. So let's zoom out, look at the entire country. Based on those same metrics, we are at ground zero essentially for the entire country that's facing poverty. And growing up here and living here, I didn't think of it that way. You know, this is home and this is what it is. And then I've gotten a lot of perspective over the last 5 to 6 years. So as I was thinking through this and thinking we got to employ 30,000 people, the question is, how do you do that? And I don't think we can without embracing technology. That is just at the core reality. Every plan before this blueprint, I believe, for Eastern Kentucky was a plan for failure. Because even if it was successful, you still didn't employ the massive amount of people you need to employ. If we filled up every industrial park, if we had the best tourism, and we had regional foods and things we support, but didn't have technology as a component of that, you can't employ enough people to actually move the needle far enough to fix the problem. That's why we've been fighting it for 60 years. But we think that technology disrupt the cab industry. If you go to a big city and you may do Uber now. Who's done Uber or Lyft? It's totally different. Well, we think technology can disrupt the economic challenges of Appalachia. I say that because it hit me. I was in a meeting with Amazon Web Services, and they said there are 18 million jobs in the digital economy. And I was struggling with this thought. We got to create 30,000 jobs. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do this? And then it hit me. There's 18 million jobs that exist already that if we're connected, people could work for, they could work in. So we've been working that angle, and we're not the first one on it. EKCEP with the telework subs, you may have heard of those, and not all this is going to be relevant to Morehead. You guys got tremendous assets here. But you get to Owsley County, you get to Harlan County, what do you do there? Well, in Harlan County, we opened a teleworks hub. They put 150 people to work in 3 months. In Harlan, you're a kid, or you're laid off, or you've never, you know, the best job you ever had is, you know, minimum wage. And now they're working full-time for Radisson Hotels or U-Haul or Xbox or Amazon, doing customer service, doing technical support. And 150 people put to work. And we're just getting our arms around this. Later this month, I got invited to go to a forum in D.C. that is hosted by a website called flexjobs.com. There's 35,000 jobs posted right now on their website, remote work opportunities. And these are opportunities if you are it's not just computer coding. If you're an RN, if you call the number on the back of your health insurance card right now and you're going to talk to a nurse, more than likely they're sitting at home somewhere. This completely changes the thought of we've got to create 30,000 jobs. It becomes much more of a workforce development issue than just simply an economic issue, but they're definitely all connected. So change driven by innovation, we've got to think completely different than we've ever thought before. SOAR is an attitude. I'm going to quickly run through the rest of this. This is the blueprint. This is the plan for the region. These are our three strategies and programs of work that we do in our office. One, we want to drive action aligned with the blueprint. We want to promote and inspire Appalachia, Kentucky. We want to tell the positive story. We all know that's not always what gets told about Appalachia. And we want to grow the team. We're going to be solidifying a network of partners over the next little bit. Through the end of the year, we're getting ready to roll out a program so that if you're an individual or an organization, a company, you can say, I want to be a part of this. Make me a part of this. And you become a formalized part of a network rather than, oh, it's an event I go to once a year. And that's what we're moving beyond. And those are the three things. So everything we do falls within that. Our vision is obviously, this is the blueprint, it's to build a 21st century Appalachia. It's an Appalachia I could have never imagined as a kid. It's an Appalachia that's connected, that you don't have to ask, can I get internet? How much is internet? Do you have Wi-Fi? If I'm opening a business, you don't have to say, who do I call to get the internet? You're connected. You have access. That barrier is gone. The second thing is we're in Appalachia where workforce is being trained in 21st century skills, relevant skills to the digital economy, the workforce, the demand from employers that exist today. That's what people are being trained in, and they're highly skilled and ready to go to work in it. Industrial, we envision in Appalachia that the industrial parks we have are full, that if you want to work in manufacturing, advanced manufacturing, there's a place for you to go to work. We envision healthy communities, communities where people have healthy eating habits, healthy physical activity habits. I mean, I could spend a long time talking just about the health of Appalachia and a drug-free Appalachia. And we talk a lot about the problems with substance abuse. We got a partner, I think, that has a solution, and we've been working with them. I think they've got a clinic here, maybe in Fleming, Addiction Recovery Care. They've been one of the companies that we've worked with. They are putting people through treatment, and they've got 200 employees now. One-third of them are people who've gone through treatment. We're connecting them, not just 30 days and you're out and go do your thing. It's workforce training, and it's a long-term program and helping them get back into the workforce and provide for themselves. It's a place where food is a big deal. It's a region where farmers, our schools are eating produce that come from their neighbor, not from, you know, out of the country. It's a local foods movement with farmers markets and healthy eating habits. It's also a destination. Tourism is obviously an opportunity within our region. Everything I've looked at and everything I believe, tourism alone is not going to fix our woes, but it's absolutely a component of what we're trying to do. We say all the time that you can't do any of this alone. We say this has to be done, all these seven goals, this vision has to be done simultaneous and harmonious. Without somebody managing it and working it, it's people have been doing it, but it's not been harmonious. It's been in silos and without communication. So we believe the future of Appalachia hinges on our ability to embrace technology and become a participant in the 21st century digital economy. That's baseline, the foundation of it, that to fix the overall, the big problem in Appalachia, we've got to do that, and we've got partners working it. So I'll leave you with this thought just to say that, you know, I had, you know, if you want to get encouraged about the work you're doing, Facebook is usually not the place to go, because everybody's a critic on Facebook and they love to say whatever they think on Facebook. And there was a guy one time, he posted on one of our posts and he said, I hope this just isn't another feel good program that, you know, comes and goes, and another political whatever. And he finished that quote with a word that said, I'll sit back and watch. And that one comment is what scares me the most about the region, is the question of, will people just sit back and wait for us to do something? Or will our communities, will you, will the chamber, will the cities say, we're going to own this. We're going to own our future. People used to ask me when I was at the chamber, when we were losing all the coal jobs, well, what's the future of Eastern Kentucky? And they always asked that, and behind it was this, what they really wanted you to say is, it's going to be awful. We're just all going to die. It's going to be that's the answer they want. They just want you to say what you think's going to happen. And I was at a Xerox. I got to hear a lady speak from Xerox, and she had a quote in her slide that said, the best way to predict the future is to create it. And that's what I told them. I said, we're not going to wait and see what happens. We're going to have a vision. We're going to say, this is what Appalachia is going to look like in 10 years. We got the plan to do it. Now we need the people. We need the partners. So the question is, in Moorhead, what's the vision? What's it going to be in 10 years? What's the plan? Who are the people that are going to do it? And everything you do here in Moorhead is part of this overarching. You're not alone anymore. It's not just Moorhead trying to figure it out. You're part of an entire group of people who believe in the future of Appalachia. And that's a powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing, especially for people in communities who have near lost hope that anything good could ever happen in Harlan County. When they get to come to the summit and show what they've done and be with over 1,000 other people I felt like this year's summit was the first time we left with a majority of people who believe we can actually do this. Before, I felt a lot like we left with a lot of critics, and that's okay. That's the world we live in, and I love to hear ideas and criticisms. I take it all, and let's make it as best we can. But that's the reality: is we are a partnership of people who believe in the future of Appalachia. We got a plan, we got a vision. Now it's time to work it. I couldn't do what I do without technology. And you know, we say infuse a broadband perspective into everything. That was one of our programs last year, one of our strategies. And that meant in workforce development, in education, in entrepreneurship, in job training, in healthcare, telehealth, telemedicine. Now people in Harlan can have access to specialists in Louisville or Lexington. It absolutely changes everything and makes what we're trying to do possible. And as a dad of a 7-year-old, you think you could do a lot from Appalachia that I couldn't even do when I started 15 years ago. And I see it every day. There's a guy in Barberville, runs an Amazon web store out of his garage, doing almost $1 million a year. And I said, well, how'd you learn how to do that? He said, I just learned. And I think, why can't we train in K-12? Why aren't you learning how to build a web store? Why aren't you learning how to code? Why aren't you learning how to do Google Ads? The things that we could all do from right here, right in the community, wherever they are. And it's a tremendous opportunity. For me, I just get excited, even though you look at the challenges we face. If we've ever had an opportunity to completely transform the region, it's the next 20 years.